Turkey, Tokyo, Australia, Germany.
Go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation cussing and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! Took a minute, but we're cooking. We are live. We're on the air. This is a live broadcast. This is a real program. This is not a rerun. Accept no substitutes. Use no hooks. Post no bills. This is the horn. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com is where we live. And that, of course, is where you go, among other things, if you would like. Why in the world? Check. One, two. I don't know. It's where you go if you'd like to jump into the chat room, where a merry band is already gathering together. Yes, just click on chat room over there at headonradionetwork.com, pick yourself out a screen name and a password, and the next thing you know, you will be welcomed most joyfully by Hoghead and Labor Man, Steve from Georgistan, Will in Chicago, and longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky has folded space away from the Horn chat room this evening. So Sparky's taking the evening off. Enjoy, Sparky, enjoy. Now, it is 5 minutes past the hour, and it is the second day of November 2016. And of course, the second day of November 2016 is a what? Yes! A Wednesday. And Wednesday, of course, means something more than the usual here at the Horn. It means more than just the middle of the week, more than just downhill to Friday, more than just hump day, even. Wednesday means prayer meeting Wednesday on the Horn. Absolutely glory hallelujah. It does, it does, it does. And brethren and sister, and I tell you what, we had us a lovely, and I do mean lovely meal. Down in the fellowship hall this evening. Yes, I had many messages to throw the third switch. The third switch is, in fact, thrown. And I know I'm being heard because Anatole repeated me when I said post no bills. Anatole's in the chat room as well. So, let's see. We had, but they're all lovely, lovely meals down in the Fellowship Hall kitchen. They really are. And I can report that I'm in far better spirits this evening than I was yesterday. I'm back to my usual wonderful, jovial, jocular, merrymaking self for at least the next 3 hours or so. Um, Sorry, part of the reason I was not on the air on time was because of a number of different computer problems. And there still being problems. And hopefully they will sort themselves out in fairly short order. It is, as Randy reminds us, All Souls Day. Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. Yes. So that's out of the way now. No, it was an absolutely de-danglicious prayer meeting Wednesday meal down in the fellowship hall. Oh, we had a magnificent meal. Oh, yes indeed. It was whole roasted chickens cut into quarters with that golden crispy broiled skin on it. You know, roast it first and then run it under the broiler to get the skin all just crackly crisp and wonderful. Yes indeed. All these green beans and canned corn from the past summer's canning efforts. Oh, some kind of ferocious good cornbread, right out of the iron skillet. Yes. And then that well-known dessert that it's known by a number of different names, but the little old blue-haired ladies just call it four-layer pie. Absolutely, the sweetened cream cheese and the chocolate pudding and the whipped cream and the wonderful flour crust with the pecans in it. Oh, I tell you what, the little ones they tried to get at the table as quick as they could, but they just couldn't quite outrun the deacons. The deacons move when they have to. They really, really do. They get cooking. And that four-layer pie just didn't have a chance. Did not have a chance. So then they trundled their bulk up the stairs, a couple of flights of stairs. And out front there, where they stand about, chain-smoking with the sinners, just trying to get that nicotine fix in before three long, 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 tortuous hours inside the Cathedral of Common Sense. But at one mere wave of the solar-powered cattle prod, courtesy of Sister Carol Baker, the deacons hot-footed it back through the vestibule, past that re-aging bowl of re-desiccating butter mints all the way down the center aisle where they lined up all shiny and ready to go, and they've got those they've got their big brass plates in hand with the blood red velvet liner and the PayPal button in the bottom of it. As Sister Carol Baker with a note says, I got me some new batteries for the cattle prod, so those members of the congregation had better get their asses into the sanctuary. Ain't no sanctuary in the parking lot. And I am sick of Brother Gerald of the Building and Grounds Committee being on my ass for all the butts left on the ground in the parking lot. Collect your butts or heads will roll. Zap! She ain't kidding. Yeah, don't just be leaving the butt. And don't put them in the bowl with the desiccating butter mints either. That's just not nice. No. So they're waiting, and here in a minute we will call the Minister of Music forward for the evening's offertory hymn, brethren and sistren. And they'll pass around the plates. You know, we try to raise $200 every evening. I can happily announce that that number has been reduced somewhat. Thank you, Darren. And thank you, Grace. And thank you very kindly to Albert. The fundraising goal is not $200 this evening. It's only $170, thanks to our subscribers. And remember, there is a subscription offer on the table. There are two of them. We need subscribers because they come on, they fall off, etc., etc. Sometimes they get canceled. I don't know why. I don't get a note, anything like that. But at any rate, we need new subscribers. And every new subscriber between now and Election Day, which mercifully is less than a week away. I mean, it feels like you're in the 25th mile of a marathon, doesn't it? At least I do. But between now and Election Day, courtesy of Ralph's, every new subscriber will get $11 added to their first month's subscription. And between now and Friday, the 11th of November, I see we're still working with that whole 11 motif for the recently passed 11th anniversary of the horn. Between now and the 11th of November, the next 10 new subscribers get another $5 added to their subscription between now and November the 11th, courtesy of Tracy. Tracy out in L.A. So there are offers on the table that make things considerably. I mean, this is the community trying to work with the community, rewarding each other for helping to keep this going and helping to propel it and move it forward. Yes. It can be done. And it all happens. It all happens over at the contribute button at headonradionetwork.com. And so, with the deacon standing here, brethren and sistren, I will call the minister of music up to lead us in the offertory hymn. Brother Minister of Music, if you would, please.
And he said, it's time for you to leave behind the things of this world. The fine houses, the fancy cars, the flashy clothes, because we are all naked in the eyes of the Lord.
Stop! This man is clinically insane!
Ladies and gentlemen, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, let me hear you say, Amen.
Amen.
Let me hear you say,
Praise the Lord.
Let me hear you say, I will empty the contents of my wallet into that little collection plate when it comes around.
I will empty the contents of my wallet into that little plate when it comes around.
And it's all tax-free. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord for all the cash I've got. Praise Him for my Rolls Royce and my yacht. Serving God ain't hard with a credit card. Jesus died so I could make a lot. Praise the Lord, He's made us millionaires. Wave your donations in the air. We've replaced our hymns with ATMs, and soon we'll charge a fee on every prayer. Jesus Christ was a poor man, don't you know? He should have used our accountants for his cash flow. Stop the Sermon on the Mount, he should have had a bank account. 2,000 years with interest, he'd be rolling in the dough. Praise the Lord, this song's out on CD, just $40.95 plus GST. Hallelujah, plenty of moolah, solid gold baubles on my Christmas tree. I've got all of heaven's riches, thanks to all you stupid bitches. Praise the Lord for modern Christianity. Whoever said religion should be free?
Oh, Mersey dotes and dozy dotes and little lambs and avia kiddly davy too. Ha! Wouldn't you? Wouldn't you, brethren and sistren? Ha! I love you. Welcome. Welcome, brethren and sistren. I'm reaching out to you now. I'm calling upon you. I want you to get up off of your seats and onto your feet. I want you to come on. It's narrow and a little squeezy, but you got to get out into that center aisle and come on down that blood red aisle and fall upon your knees. Fall upon your knees at the altar and lay, ha, glory, your hands upon the ha, subwoofer and feel, amen, the healing rays of common sense are flowing through you. From the server on high. I am Archpope, Uber Rabbi, Ultimate Imam, Animated Animist, Antagonized Agnostic, Vicarious Vicar, Maximum Metropolitan Bob Kincaid, and this is Prayer Meeting Wednesday from the Cathedral of Common Sense on the Horn. Oh, brethren and sistren, amen, glory, I tell you what, I remember a long time ago reading something that some tribal peoples didn't like photographs being a-tooken of them because they said that it took away their souls. They may have had something, even though they're pagans and bound for hell. Glory, praise Jesus, bound for hell. Created hell just for them out of the love that the Almighty has for his children. But even so, sometimes the Almighty puts good ideas in sinners' brains. I'm talking, of course, about a little something that happened a couple of weeks ago up in Minnesota. Pine City, Minnesota, brethren and sisters, Pine City, where 47-year-old William Helker was serving as the youth pastor at your All Saints Lutheran Church in Cottage Grove, praise Jesus. The youth pastor there, by his own admission, brethren and sisters, took some photographs, some snapshots of the youngins that he was a youth pastor into. Three photographs, and one of them involved a little girl as about 5 year old. And then, clothed in the loving, saving grace of Christ Jesus, ha, glory, Pastor Helker, youth Pastor Helker, well, he swapped, it is believed, alleged, he swapped those little children's pictures in exchange for kiddie porn with a user in Finland. According to the investigating officers, he did the image swapping both from computers at his home and there at the All Saints Lutheran Church in Cottage Grove, Minnesota. Now, what did he do? He used his Photoshop, brethren and sistren. And he took the photos that he'd taken of children at his church, and then he put their little smiling heads and faces into pornographic photographs of people having pornographic sex, and made hundreds of images using those children's likenesses. He has been charged with 6 counts of child pornography possession, and if he is convicted, is looking at 7 years in the Minnesota Big House, if he's convicted on all 3 counts. There's an additional 5 years in prison, another $10,000 in fines if he gets popped on the other 3 counts, brethren and sisters. You know, I never advocate for throwing out the baby with the bathwater or taking a photograph of the baby and putting it into pornographic situations either, for that matter. But isn't it time that these churches, these tax-free havens of sexual predators and monsters, isn't it time that maybe they rethink the idea of having youth pastors? Because, brethren and sisters, we didn't have no youth pastors when I was a going to church as a little baby Christian. We had little old blue-haired ladies down in the basement of the Baptist church, and they sat around and sang to us about how Jesus loved the little children, and onward Christian soldiers and whatnot. And they read us Bible stories, and none of the really gross and icky ones that involve teenage girls getting their daddies drunk and then jumping them trying to get pregnant off of him. They didn't read us those stories there in the basement of the Baptist church. The little blue-haired ladies didn't. We didn't have a youth pastor. Because I guess the Southern Baptist Convention had not quite yet reached that level of grift. Lutherans, I mean, those are just Catholics with German accents, right? I mean, I remember when they did build a Lutheran church there in my hometown, as it was going up, we were pretty sure it was going to be a new Hardee's. But sure enough, it turned out to be a Lutheran church. But I don't think they had a youth pastor neither. And quite honestly, I don't know where the concept of the youth pastor came from or comes from. Unless it was something that was cooked up, brethren and sestren, by pervs and child sexual predators. Because it seems like I can't go a week without finding another story of some youth pastor who's got his hands or his lens or his mouth somewhere that they oughtn't be. Have we run out of little old blue-haired ladies who can read Bible stories? Jesus loves me. Jesus loves the little children. Get your hands off me. You're not Jesus. No. I honestly don't know. So it's a tough call. But, well, Brother Helker. I'm sure that All Saints Lutheran is busily crafting various and sundry documents saying that they had no knowledge and no reason to know and no reasonable expectation that they would ever suspect that the youth pastor Helker was a kiddie porn photoshopping sick ass monster. Mm-hmm. No. You know, so we got that. And we've got, we've also, it's prayer meeting Wednesday, and we save stuff for that, Because there's always more of this filth out there because religion industry. They can't help it. And again, it's because there is no greater authority structure in the country than, churches. And so necessarily, that child predators will flock to it. Go figure. But of course, America, far from being concerned about its precious little children possibly being photographed and used as and having their body parts used in kiddie porn, because, you know, First Amendment, it protects our religious freedom here in America. No, it's that religious freedom that gets us all hot and bothered. It gets entire Republican-dominated legislatures all fired up to pass bills to make sure that no good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, homosexual pizza shop has to sell their shitty pizza for a gay wedding reception. Right. And, of course, there is no more devout state than Talibandiana. I mean, they're just the Jesus up. I mean, you can't turn around for hitting some gospel sharp emporium there. So enter Kin Park Thong. Somehow or another, miraculously, she is an immigrant to the United States, and particularly to Talibandiana from Burma. And she's been charged with a crime. She's got a 7-year-old son. And eventually, and the 7-year-old son went to school. And back in March, a teacher noticed that he had dozens, that's multiples of 12, of deep purple bruises all over his body. And that's when the teacher dropped the dime and called the cops. Well, they went and they interviewed Kin Park Thong. And she looked at him and said, "Well, yes, of course, because I beat both of my children with coat hangers." And she went on to tell the police that after she'd given both of her children a sound beating with a coat hanger, that she then instructed them to get on their knees and pray for forgiveness. And here's where it gets interesting. She raised as an affirmative defense to beating her children with coat hangers that the Religious Freedom Restoration Act, as enacted by the legislature of Talibandiana and signed into law by vice presidential nominee of the Republican Party and Indiana Governor Mike Pence, provided her a form of immunity. That to tell her or to arrest her or prosecute her for child abuse violated her religious freedom. She also got her Bible out and did some witnessing to the police. And she read to them from that noble book, Proverbs. Yes, Proverbs chapter 23, verses 13 and 14. Withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. Thou shalt beat him with the rod, and shall deliver his soul from hell. You know, because those 7-year-old little boys out there, they are on the fast track to hell. 7-year-old boys, yeah. She cited Proverbs chapter 23, verses 13 and 14, as her legal excuse to mercilessly beat her children with a coat hanger. She moved to dismiss the case, and for some reason or another, a judge there in Marion County, Talibandiana, denied her motion for dismissal. Now, I'm thinking if she had been a good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, homosexual, white woman, it would have been an entirely different story. as it was. You know, those people don't always understand the full nature and import of the words of Holy Scripture. I mean, she was probably a pagan Buddhist or something like that up until fairly recently, don't you figure? So, having been charged with felony battery and neglect of a dependent, she was allowed by the prosecutor, whom I am sure is also a good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, Christian, fundamentalist, homosexual. She was allowed to plea bargain down from the felony, and instead she was admitted to 8 months probation. And she's had to attend parenting classes so that she can learn more appropriate methods of discipline than beating the holy daylights out of her children with a coat hanger that leaves dozens of bruises all over the children's body. Praise Jesus. Ain't God good? Yeah, I know. But religious freedom, y'all. Because remember, there's religious freedom in places like Idaho and Oregon to neglect your children to death. Because we've got this really, really twisted interpretation of the idea of freedom of religion. It apparently, you know, it lets people be free to force their religion on others in virtually any form, and leaves people generally, defenseless against it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there's that. What else? Oh, lots more. Lots more. Of course there's lots more. You know that. Because it's prayer meeting Wednesday, and we never want for material to work with on prayer meeting Wednesday. No. It wouldn't be prayer meeting Wednesday if we didn't have a bucket pudding update. No, not a bucket pudding update. No, Jim Baker's warning of what awaits all of us if we don't elect Donald Trump. And I'm sure Jill Stein agrees, because, you know, she's kind of endorsed Donald Trump. But yep, that's neither here nor there, isn't it? Let's check in with Jim Baker instead.
Just want you all to stop all the madness in your house right now, confusion,
yes,
and sit down and listen to this program today.
Right.
This may be the most important television show you've ever watched.
Really?
I believe this election is the difference between having the time to really prepare for what's coming on earth,
right,
and going into, I believe this fall is really the beginning, and I hate to say it, I've never said it before, but could be the beginning of the fall of America.
Wow.
And we've got a choice to make, and we can do something.
Yes, we can.
And last two elections, almost, 30 million Christians stayed home.
Evangelical Christians.
Because they did not approve of the man running for office.
That's correct.
So we have had the most dramatic change in America's history of what America believes and what America stands for.
That's right.
Because people said, I'm just not going to do anything.
Yeah.
Faith without works is dead. You're not going to sit home and just say, well, I'll just leave it up to God. No, you're saying I'm too lazy to do anything. So God doesn't work that way.
Just real quick, like, not much left of this clip. But just a gentle reminder, shall we? That's all tax-free. telling people how to vote, where to vote, when to vote, why to vote, why to vote. All of which is just wildly violative of, because implicit in this, I mean, he said before who it is he supports. Implicit in all of this is that, you know, we're talking about voting for Donald Trump. Right? Yeah. And the IRS doesn't think much, or, well, the IRS has unenforced rules about endorsing political candidates from the pulpit. And yes, even though he's sitting behind a table and probably is getting ready to hustle some bucket pudding, that doesn't matter. It's still religious politicking. And the reason we don't like that in this country is because using the religion industry, which of course by definition offers tickets out of hell and into eternal paradise, as long as one does what the preacher says. No, stand still, kid. I'm taking a picture. That's for a lot of simple and weak-minded people, that's a huge inducement to do what the preacher says. But anyway, back to, yeah.
Liberal Democratic platform is being mightily used by the devil to take America down.
Oh, yeah.
That's right.
Yes.
To take America down.
And so, Mr. Trump, of all people, God to choose a Trump.
He chooses the foolish things of this world.
Yes, he does.
To literally wake the church back up, because we have accepted abortion.
Yes,
we have accepted it, and God is so grieved by it.
Wait, Jim Baker's accepted abortion? How did they perform it? I mean, where did they get the little duck-billed thingy that you put the, and the, I didn't, Jim, really? You accepted abortion? Speculum, that's the word I'm looking for, speculum. So, yeah, because abortion. Not because we have children who go to sleep in this country hungry every night. I mean, which kind of got Yeshua the brown-skinned Palestinian day laborer and itinerant semi-literate rabbi kind of wrought, kind of worked up. Not because of that. Not because of the homeless that he said, look, if you've not put a roof over the homeless, you've not put a roof over me. And no, building a bowling alley and a water slide doesn't count. Opening up a weight training facility and a coffee bar for Jesus doesn't count. Nah, it's because we accepted abortion.
That if you don't believe me, you watch what's coming on this earth, because we have murdered.
Something's going to come on this earth? It's going to be pretty big, isn't it? Is that where tidal waves come from? Sorry.
Our own offspring.
Well, let me just back.
Yeah. God's just going to punk the daylights out of us if we don't elect a fascist president of the United States, because God loves fascists, I guess. Meanwhile, Steve in New York writes and says, subject line, Jim Baker. How do I say this without beating around the bush? Fuck him! You're free to try. Not me, though. Thanks, no. And, you know, with less than a week to go to the election, the right wing are coming out of their shoes. I mean, But God gets around. And 1L Michelle Bachman knows why what happened last Friday happened last Friday. Oh, yeah. Almighty God. Mm-hmm. You might want the hockey puck for this one. You do want the hockey puck for this one.
here's my opinion. I think so many people have been praying and fasting, and I think that God is revealing the hidden things and hidden motives at this crucial point so people can understand truth. And I think God has his way. He has his ability to reveal truth, and the truth is a glaring spotlight where the general population can see this, and they can make their voice known in the ballot box next Tuesday.
Okay, you know what that's all about? About how God can reveal hidden things and hidden motives? Revealing truth and truth being a glaring spotlight? She was on the this thing called the American Pastors Network, this program called Stand in the Gap. This was Tuesday, yesterday. And I guess she was just prophesying or had a word of truth or the holy discernment or God only knows what. And she said that's how come the emails that Hillary Clinton didn't write, the emails that Hillary Clinton didn't send, the emails that Hillary Clinton had no contact with, were found on Anthony Weiner's computer. Because Jeebus. Because Jeebus! As with any week, there's tons of this stuff. And if you ever doubted or had any inkling that there was a shred of decency about these monstrosities, these followers of Christ. Funny way of following I got, ain't it? Yeah, by the way, I got a note from Brother Deacon Asa, who said, there's a $50 matching offer on the table this evening in honor of Supreme Leader Trump's imminent victory next week. God is good! So the next 50 bucks that come in will get doubled if 50 bucks come in. And that'll get us down to only 70 bucks to go for fundraising for this particular evening. So who knew that there was an outfit, why wouldn't you suspect, an outfit called Conservative Republicans of Texas? I mean, I consider that group over-described. Are there liberal Republicans in Texas? Are there even moderate Republicans in Texas? Is there anything but wild-eyed, frothing at the mouth, foaming, the fetus-fondling, fetus-frightening freaks in Texas in the Republican Party? Well, nonetheless, there's a group called Conservative Republicans of Texas. This past Saturday, they had a Stand For, the numeral 4, Truth conference there in Houston. And Steve Hotze, H-O-T-Z-E, Steve Hotze of Conservative Republicans of Texas got a little slot on the program. And since the entire purpose of the Stand For Truth conference in Houston was to complain bitterly about the fact that people, LGBTQ, QQ people, keep insisting on being treated like human beings. Well, Steve Hotze took it upon himself, because he is, of course, a good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, homosexual, Christian, real follower of Jesus. He took it upon himself to explain how to go about thinking about the Homer sectionals. And, man, you want some Christian love? Here it is, all over the place.
You all have been exposed to some very interesting and, frankly, disconcerting information about what's going on in our country and how the homosexual political movement has really infiltrated, much like, think of them like termites. They get into the wood of the house and they eat away at the very moral fabric and the foundation of our country.
Yeah, that's right. This follower of Christ Jesus just referred to every homosexual in America, and by extension, probably every homosexual on earth, as a noxious, verminous, pestiferous insect. Not human beings. Not brothers and sisters in Christ. Not even sinners. Termites. Termites. And of course, what do you do with termites? Well, you exterminate termites, don't you? Because they're worthy of death. Yeah.
What the Marxist movement was all about. You remember Khrushchev came and he said, we're going to get your country one way or another. And the way they want to do it is to destroy the moral fabric and create moral anarchy in our country so that our people don't have them. No longer do they have, are they living righteous lives, but they're living lives that are ungodly. And
check me if I'm wrong. That was not a Marxist, Leninist, communist who... No, stand still, kid. I'm taking a picture. Who was taking the pictures of the little children and then photoshopping their little children heads onto adult bodies engaged in pornographic sex and then swapping them and selling them all over the world. No, that wasn't a Marxist-Leninist, was it? It wasn't even a Homer sectional. No, brothers and sisters, that was a Christian. And not just any Christian, a Christian minister. You know, with the collar and the black duds and the funny white notch, the black and the notch in the black collar that the white collar sits under. A Christian did that. Mm-hmm. But the moral fabric of our country is being torn apart by the Homer sectionals. I mean, are we clear? Because I guess the Soviets, all the gay people are Soviets. Even after the fall of the Soviet Union. But wait, apparently Brother Hotze didn't get the memo about Brother Helker.
When you do that, you lack moral courage because you can't very well stand up and oppose people who are doing wicked things if you're participating in the same activities. And so they knew, you know, they got pornography in and they got, you know, now, you know, took God out of the schools, got pornography. You can imagine it's legal to have pornography on the internet, but we, in some jurisdictions in the country, can't stand up and say that homosexuality is wrong or immoral activity, whether it's promotion of adultery or premarital sex. We can't say that that's wrong because that's hate speech.
Of course, being a Christian, he's lying his Christian ass off because they say this stuff all the time and nobody's cooling their heels in the clink. It's just when they decided to start shooting people in the name of Jesus that maybe we finally pay attention to them. But then again, we had a bird sanctuary that was taken over in the name of Jesus. I mean, okay, granted, it was Jesus from Kolob, but, you know, still. And they got to walk away scot-free. Meanwhile, by the way, I saw an interesting video today from out in North Dakota. some Standing Rock water protectors were gathered on an island. And damned if the authorities didn't come after him in boats. They weren't doing anything. They weren't blocking anything. They were just standing on an island. And the militarized police with their militarized boat came after them. Yeah, I caught that too, Carol. It kind of bedeviled me. Carol asking, there's porn in the schools? In the schools? Well, clearly you've never seen the Van Halen Hot for Teacher video. Absolutely. So, Brother Hotsey can't be bothered to stand up and oppose people doing wicked things like taking pictures of little children and photoshopping them into porn. But he's really worried about the homos out there destroying the moral fabric of Merca, you know, by picking out China patterns. Religious freedom, y'all!
But it's perfectly legal under the First Amendment, according to the Supreme Court justices, to allow pornography to be, you know, perpetrated upon our public, and even in the public schools, as taught and shown.
What does that mean, have pornography perpetrated upon the public? Is that what happens when the Southern Baptist minister goes cruising the Walmart parking lot for rent boys? Is that perpetrating pornography upon the public? And in the schools? I mean, we put four kids through the public school system, and not once, and this is West Virginia, I mean, not once did they get exposed to any pornography. They kind of found it themselves. Well, I mean, not they, but, you know, one. Never mind. Getting complicated. So, you know, our only hope is Donald Trump, because, you know, because Christianity. So they worry about the little fetuses, and they worry about the pornography, and they worry a lot about the homosexuals. Right, I mean, you know, it's just because I guess it's what they've got to worry about.
And on the third day, God created the Remington bolt-action rifle so that man could fight the dinosaurs and the homosexuals.
Amen.
But you know what else they hate? Feminists. Because, see, feminist is in complete violation of your basic rules of Christian life. Because it says there that women is supposed to submit themselves unto their husbands, shut their mouths in church, and do something about that god-awful hair, so and like keep it, you know, keep it under a beekeeper hat or something like that when they're out in public. So there's an outfit out there called Mission America. Its president is a creature by the name of Linda Harvey. And Linda Harvey has done been to seminary, which is, of course, a violation of your basic God's law. Because women ain't supposed to be a preaching. Oh, no. No, no, no. That's a big no-no. For no man should ever have, no woman should ever have authority over a man. Right? And so, when she was in seminary, and I don't know how this happened, maybe it only happened in her imagination, she is, after all, a Christian. But, she had a lesbian professor in seminary. Mm-hmm. It was horrible.
you talk about an experience that you yourself had in a Lutheran seminary.
Yes, this is one of the things that...
Lutherans? Was there a photography class? Just asking.
I mean, looking back, I had just become a Christian in the early 1990s, and I felt like I needed more of a background if I was going to work in Christian circles and even do any writing. This is all very new, and I was just tiptoeing into this. So I enrolled in a master's of theology course in the most convenient seminary that was closest to my denomination. I was not a Lutheran, but there was, I was raised Episcopalian, and I didn't realize how liberal the mainline churches had gotten in Protestantism. And so I, you know, naively enrolled in the Lutheran seminary here in Columbus, and it's a very prestigious one, Trinity Lutheran Seminary. And ran right into all of these agendas. And this has been over 20 years ago. But one of them was an inclusive language policy.
Not an inclusive language policy. Damn political correctness. And this was 20 years ago. Lutheran lesbians in the past. Past, past, past. Yeah.
Where they, before you came on board, you know, came and started your classes, you had to sign this and say, you know, I agree that we should not limit the expressions about God to the masculine. And I'm thinking, I'm kind of a new Christian, so I really hadn't grasped where this might go. So I signed.
Yeah, well, you know, it's the grasping that gets you in trouble every time. As Brother Deacon Gerald, chair of the Building and Grounds Committee, notes, a lesbian? Oh, there, God, that poor dear, bless her heart. God love her, she can't help it. That Gerald, liberal Christianity? I'm calling bullshit on that one. Nah, it exists, it exists. There's just, you know, they don't make a lot of noise, and they certainly don't go out of their way to challenge these people who have owned their faith lock, stock, and barrel. Stinking. Rotten, dead flesh, whited tomb barrels. So where were we? Oh, yes, inclusive language and not limiting pronouns referring to the divine as strictly being he, you know, big old bearded juvenile delinquent in the sky that he is.
To limit the expressions about God to the masculine. And I'm thinking, I'm kind of a new Christian, so I really hadn't grasped where this might go. So I signed it, you know, very regretfully later because
then she realized that she was going to burn in hell forever because she might have sometime or another referred to God as a her or perhaps a it. See, this is what makes the Flying Spaghetti Monster so easy. I mean, it's an it. I mean, because it's made out of spaghetti and meatballs. See? No confusion.
I ran into open lesbians in this seminary that was not approved of at that point in the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, but they were violating that kind of standard. Open advocacy of same-sex relationships and same-sex marriage, and then twisting scripture all around. And one of them was I would raise my hand in class and try to explain something and refer to God as he, using that pronoun. And this lesbian Old Testament professor corrected me, was incredibly stern, said he who. And I didn't understand what she was talking about.
Because you're stupid. Never mind.
This happened several times. And finally she said, we have an inclusive language policy here. We do not use that terminology. Please correct this or grades will be affected.
Oh.
It was...
Oh. She got a C.
It was like a concentration camp. The thought police, and it was all directed by...
Wait. Time out. Jack, okay, time out. Hey, okay. It was like a concentration camp. Now, all this is about is a class this woman took in Old Testament, which I'll bet was fascinating because some of the things, especially like back in Genesis, There's some serious gender studies stuff you can get into there, because what you see is the supplanting of an Earth Mother religion by the Sky God religion. And apparently Abraham's wife Sarai was a priestess of that religion. And man, did she get left in the dust. But then again, that was, I can't remember, was that before or after Abraham took her down into Egypt and looked at Pharaoh and said, and Pharaoh said, "My God, man, she's kind of hot. Who is she?" And Abraham said, "That's my sister. You want to fuck her?" Of course, it was his wife. So, you know, Pharaoh, you know, got to, you know, getting it on. And then God, because God love y'all, dropped a fucking plague on the Egyptians. Innocent Egyptians who had nothing to do with whether or not the Pharaoh was getting it. And the Pharaoh said, "Hey, what the fuck? I mean..." Abraham goes, "Well, I lied to you. That's my wife." And Abraham is a revered prophet in all three religions. Kind of lets you know that maybe the value system's a little screwed up. Yeah, like a concentration camp, Carol. Carol says, "You mean like they were in ovens? Being murdered for not calling God a virganda haver?" Yeah, it was like a concentration camp. You know, very little to eat, transported in boxcars, tattoos, shaven heads, dental work pulled out, you know, murdered, bodies dumped in trenches, crematoria, the Zyklon B, all of that. It was like a concentration camp for Linda Harvey, professional Christian, president of Mission America. Oh. And all them open lesbianese. Yes, Sister Carol, yes. Not even the closed kind. She is a survivor. She's a survivor of a concentration camp and a 3-hour class in Old Testament 20 years ago concentration camp. It was like a concentration camp. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, Brother Deacon Gerald. Yeah, I imagine old St. Peter's going to have that their document in hand upon her arrival at the Pearlies. Yep, he's going to hold it up and say, "Hey, remember signing this? Do I look like a woman? Does the big bearded juvenile delinquent on the pearly throne back there look like a girl? Huh? Call the elevator." As Gerald points out, now I'm no concentration camp expert, but I'm going to bet that it was nothing like a concentration camp. Not saying. And wait a minute. Not saying. Just saying. Just saying. Not saying. Yeah, right. Savage. Can we have the bleach shower now? Does that feel really icky? Gross even? Yeah. So what do you say we take a little break? Because I kind of need. Again, there is a $50 challenge on the table, courtesy of Brother Deacon Asa. If that is met, then that'll leave us with only $70 fundraising to go for the evening, and we won't be in a hole, which is awesome, not being in a hole. So we'll take a break. The deacons will keep the plates passing. We're not going to lock the doors. We're still paying off the rug doctor for the last time I tried that stunt. This is listener-supported conversation radio. If you want to get involved with the program, if you want to carry on some conversation, if you want to cuss and discuss, there are multiple phone lines at your disposal. 304-574-8178 is one of them. The other one, the stress line, is 304-663-8177. 304-663-4676. 304-663-HORN. And then, of course, Skype to Skype from anywhere on the planet, Bob Kincaid Horn, B-O-B-K-I-N-C-A-I-D-H-O-R-N. Yes. Okay? Okay. Take a break. I'm Bob Kincaid. This is The Horn. Be back.
This kid who got into an accident and caught and come to school, but when he finally came back, his hair had turned from black into bright white. He said that it was from when the cousin smashed his soul.
I don't know why that band didn't go further than it did, but at least we got that one magnificent album, Crash Test Dummies, and yes, that's the name of the song, Oh, and by the way, just in case you were wondering, there may be a blessed event fairly soon, or not. Story that Carol Baker put me onto, via Huffington Post, about a 19-year-old woman, and this is from Dr. Phil, of course, a 19-year-old girl who says she's pregnant with Jesus.
I know my pregnancy is real. I've gained at least 22 pounds. I was sleeping one night, and my baby punched the bottom of my stomach and kicked me, and I can feel his head right here, right below my belly button. However, as the story notes, Haley's mom, Christy, says her daughter is a compulsive liar and delusional. My family, my friends, my pastors at church, they don't believe I'm pregnant. I know it's Jesus. I don't care if my family disowns me. It really comes down to if you're a true believer in Jesus or not. Well, you know, it also comes down to whether or not you're pregnant. I don't care what the home pregnancy test or a doctor says. When I give birth to my baby, no one's going to deny him because he's my Savior. I mean, damn. Do you laugh or do you cry? Do you hope this poor thing gets some psychological help, or do you hedge your bet and offer up a prayer just in case she's right? I mean, God raped one little girl. I mean, that's because Alma, that's what Alma means, and that's what gets translated as virgin in the New Testament. And all it means, according to what I've been told in Hebrew, is, you know, young woman, young girl. God done it once. He can do it again. Right. Yeah. Hey, let's run over to the Skype line where Tracy's standing by. Hey, Tracy.
So.
Wait, I got a giggle out of the gate. Okay, we've gone to chortle now. Pretty soon we're going to be in full-blown chuckle.
I was talking to my mom today. You know, she lives in North Carolina, in Fayetteville. And,
she's one of those people who isn't supposed to vote.
Right. And so I was voicing concern. You know, we were both like just really exhausted about this election. And she's like, I'm going to have an early birthday, because her birthday is November the 14th. And she said some November the 9th, she's going to have an early birthday party, a celebration of the election being over, because she's like, she's just really tired of people. I don't know if it was just somebody that she knew, or somebody from her church, but this being, it was, when she said it, I'm like, oh my God, it's like she knew it was prayer meeting Wednesday. Okay? Because somebody actually told her, wait for it, that if Hillary Clinton becomes president, she's going to take Christianity away.
Oh, absolutely. No, it's going to end in concentration camps.
And I'm like, if she, I said, what? Because she knew I was going to go on some kind of rant or tirade or whatever the case may be. And I'm like, you really live around these people, don't you? Because, see, I don't have, I mean, I know Trump supporters. I know I do. Because, you know, there's just too many of them for me not to know them, but none of them are going to say anything to me about being a Trump supporter or say anything stupid. You know what I'm saying? Because they know me well enough not to do anything like
that. They know that you're not going to just say, well, how nice for you.
Yeah, I'm not going to say, oh, bless your heart. You know, or, you know, you're
God love you.
God love you. You know, I'm not going to say that, because I'm going to have a whole list of questions as to why. Because I'm going to say, because, see, I have a problem with you supporting Trump, and I'm going to list why I have a problem, and I need for you to defend, at, you know, and especially if you're white, and try to say that you're not a racist. Or that you don't, or better yet, let me see if I can say this nicely, support racist views. Or misogynistic views. Oh, I'm not a racist, no. I said, but you're supporting a person who is.
Yeah.
And if you're going to be...
You're supporting... Or make it even easier, Tracy. You're supporting a candidate who is also supported by Nazis. You're supporting
Nazis.
A candidate who is supported by Klansmen. And, you know...
Right.
That means
not disavowed,
you're on the same side as Nazis and Klansmen. How's that feel?
How does that feel? How's that working out for you? Where's Dr. Phil?
He's, you know, busy with the... Dr. Phil's busy right now.
Why? why does stuff sound like there's a story? There's something.
Well, no, because I mean, he's waiting to see if the 19-year-old girl who gained 22 pounds is going to have baby Jesus like she says she is, even though she's not pregnant.
Okay. So, yeah, there was that.
Just going to let that blow right by, aren't you?
Yeah.
Not much to work with there.
There's just, you know, that's right up there was I sat on the toilet seat and got pregnant, or I was in a public pool and got pregnant. What were the other ones? I don't know. Because, see, we didn't have those options, especially back in my... In my neighborhood, we didn't have any public pools. We couldn't use that as an excuse for pregnancy. I would just screw it.
Yeah, well, yeah.
I think certain things are just uniquely white. It's like, because my mom was 15 going on 16 when she got pregnant with me, and trust and believe, she wasn't trying to come up with some, you know, Jesus got me pregnant. She was just trying to figure out how not to get my father killed. And not by my grandfather, but by my grandmother. Oh, Jesus. That woman did carry a gun. So she was not, yeah. She hated, Bob, let me just tell you the level of hatred that my grandmother had for my father. When... You know, the part of the wedding ceremony. You see, we're still in church. So you know that part of the wedding ceremony when who gives this woman to be married or whatever? And my grandfather says, her mother and I, right? My grandmother's like, no, I do not.
Ooh.
So that's the kind of woman my grandmother was. I mean, she, you know, that was that Southern born and bred as well. You know, she's from Shreveport, Louisiana.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, sister girl did not play. But let's backtrack.
Do
the lady, the old girl about the lesbians and the seminary.
Open lesbians, open lesbians. Let's get that straight.
Open lesbians.
Well, not straight, but you know what I mean.
So
see what I did there.
I didn't hear the whole. Because somehow, see what happens, like when I listen to tune in on my phone, if I get a phone call or if I make a call, it pauses the show right where the phone call came in. So I got up to a certain point and then I think about the inclusive, she was getting all worked up about, because her teacher's like, okay, if you keep doing that, your grade would be affected. And that's when I lost it, because at that point, I did like a fast forward just to see where you were in the show, and that's when I called in. So what happened to her? Did she drop out?
No.
Inquire?
Nothing happened to her, but it was like a concentration camp.
Yeah, that's what I was like. Did this bitch just say concentration camp for real, dog? I'm pretty sure there's a whole lot of Jews out there that actually were in concentration camps. And I guarantee you sitting in a classroom in Ohio does not anywhere equate close to being in a concentration
camp. No, that's it's right smart far away from it. But, you know, she's got white lady Christian privilege, so she gets to say things like that.
Well, it's so, you know, because I, you know, my church is an openly gay church, and I actually got, you know, not in trouble because of the whole inclusive language thing. Because, see, I was raised Baptist, so, you know, our father, the whole shebang, King James Bible, woo-da-woo, woo-da-woo, right? And I don't have a problem saying our father, but, you know, the more I'm in my church, I understand why people would have a problem with the, you know, the masculine and stuff like that. Because I had to one Sunday offer a prayer in front of the whole church, and I don't remember what I said. As I wanted to go back and look on the video, I could. It's not that serious. But I did say, you know, I
yeah. Well, hold up for a minute, Tracy. Hold up. I want to kind of work on that for a minute, because you've sort of opened a door here to something that probably deserves consideration. You know, your Christians are all about how God is the God of the universe, right? I mean, and he's the only one. I mean, there aren't any others.
Even though he says you should have no other God before me, he didn't say.
Well, he just meant don't be worshiping any imaginary gods. Only worship me because I'm the real one.
Right.
Okay. So, taking our cue for, and our obligatory Star Trek reference, what need has God with a starship? If God is masculine, and if God is he, then that means, and I don't want to be too terribly crass about this, I don't just do this to appeal to prurient interests.
Oh, do.
What does God need with a dingus?
Right.
Because the only reason to have a dingus is because you want to stick it in a hoo-hoo somewhere.
Did you say a hoo-hoo?
I said a hoo-hoo.
Let's say for JJ.
I'm not black enough to say vajayjay.
What do you mean you're not black?
I have to say hoo-hoo.
No. I've never heard black people say vajayjay except for one. Everybody that I heard say vajayjay are white women. You mean vajayjay is black? Did I miss something? Did I miss a meeting?
Oh, shit. I'm going to get an email now.
Did I miss a meeting?
You're the one that you get every morning. You go and you check your email and you get the gay agenda. I'm just operating in the dark here.
Well, that's the gay agenda, Bob. I missed the email about the black agenda, about the meeting about the JJ being a black thing. Because here's the thing. It takes me a while to get up with stuff, and now that, you know, the millennials have come up with a whole new language, you know, I have to ask them. Like, I just found out recently, I was watching this show called Insecure on HBO. I got to get you a way to watch HBO, Bob, because there's two shows. Like Todd was mentioning about Westworld, there's another show called Insecure about this black woman. She's hilarious. Just navigating being black and being young in this country. And what I love about it is all set in LA. So I get to go, I know where that is. But anyway, this white woman asked her what's, you know, something about on fleek. And she's like, I don't, you know, it's one of those things when white people ask.
Oh, shit. I got introduced to on fleek a month or so ago. And that only took that only took weeks to sort out.
Right. And so when she said it, I'm like, crap, what is that? Because she's like, the white girl asked her, well, what, you know, something about on fleek. And she's like, I don't know what that means. Because I when I was growing up and living, being like the only black person, and I was always the one, you know, well, what does this mean? What does it mean down low? What does it mean, you know, you all these things that I got asked, and I had to be, you know, a freaking thesaurus, you know, or what have you, or, you know, for black thought and colloquialism. Did I say that right? I think I did.
You're there.
Without
You're
twisting
there.
It up. Okay, so I felt it when she said, I don't know what a fleek was, because I'm like, why do you assume I know what that means? Because did you go ask your white friends?
No, you people invent all the new cool words.
Right. So she's like, I don't know what that means. And then in her head, she's like, of course I know what a fleek is. And then, of course, I still had no idea. I had to ask a friend who had just asked her millennial sister. Because the thing is, even though my son is a millennial, there's certain things. When it comes to certain things on black culture, I don't even bother. Because Alex, it's not so much that he's a nerd, but not hanging with the homies, if you get my drift. Most of his friends are Hispanic or Russian or Asian. It's hilarious. And that's also because of where he went to school and where we live. So it's understandable. Now that I think about it, oh, God, he has no black friends. Kind of like his mom. So anyway, you know, so that's why I don't bother asking Alex. But, yeah, on sleep. But anyway, so, you know, that thing about as far as for JJ is concerned, I think it's a universal term. White people are using it. It was even on
I know. I mean, you know, we've sort of settled, per Carol Baker, Queen of the Minions, we've settled on Virginda here.
Virginda.
Virginda. V-E-R-J-A-N-D-A.
Okay, Virginda. Okay. I still like the JJ because it's a lot easier than, because see, I got a slight lisp, so anything that's going to take me a while to work my tongue and teeth around to get to say it, it's going to not turn out right. So the JJ. So, yeah, so why does he need a penis? If he's God, he can just touch her, you know, old C.
I want to go back. I'm not done with the topic yet. Okay, and by the way, wait a minute. I have to do this real quick. Stand by. I've been awarded a cowbell from Brother Deacon Asa for "What Does God Need with a Dingus?" He said that was almost fall off the scaffold moment for a Brother Deacon. But I want to go back to that because. You know, he's the one only true God just out there all by himself. It's got to be just lonesome as hell.
You can only chill for
so long. I mean, there's only so many games. And he's almighty God anyway. So, you know, computer solitaire is not going to get it.
Exactly. I mean, and look at, you know, check out, with the Greeks and the Romans. At least they had other people to hang with.
That's where I'm going. Because if God needs a dingus, that means that God's got to get it on. You know, the celestial Barry White music and everything.
That means that their God
is every bit as venal, every bit as mean and nasty. Every bit as prone to human foibles, because that was the whole thing about the Greek and Roman gods, especially the Greek gods. Zeus couldn't keep his pants on.
No, Zeus.
And Hera was just a jealous, vindictive
harpy.
Thank you. And you know, you got precious little Pallas Athena, and she's a virgin, and nobody can her. And you got Artemis with the bow. And poor old ugly Hephaestus, you know, working the furnace and everything, and he's lame, and so they've got all of these human attributes, and that's kind of a thing that's unique about the Greek pantheon. I mean, over there in Zoroastrianism, Ahura Mazda, he gets worshipped in a bonfire, okay. You look at the ancient Median and Persian gods, and they're like bulls' heads with eagles' wings, and then there's the fucking Egyptians, Tracy.
Oh well, they were badass.
I mean, you know, you got this studly male human body with a kind of hawk's head on it, this haughty female body with a cat. But the Christians are supposed to be above all of that, right?
Yeah, whatever.
But we got this lady in Lutheran seminary, all worked up because. So when they insist on calling God He, does that mean that we can call in Dr. Freud and get him to opine a little bit about the Christians fantasizing about the great universal creator celestial dick? I mean, I'm sorry.
No, and don't be, because see, it's those things where, you know, until you said it, I didn't even think about it, because
I mean, if you're insisting on calling God He, that means you're thinking about God's junk.
Yeah. You know, because why not? You know, because like I said, you know, in the 3 years that I've been a member of my church or attending my church, I'm understanding why, you know, because of patriarchy, because, you know, there's a lot of people at my church who, you know, lived through Catholicism and had bad experiences with priests and, you know, so father and all that sort of stuff, is those words, you know, triggers
mm-hmm.
of what, you know, and so me being me, you know, because I was like, well, see, this is what I tell people. I never intentionally set out to hurt anybody. Well, a lie. Let me back that up.
Well, but let's take a moment here.
Because I have intended on hurting people, but never would I have intended of hurting somebody while I'm up in church praying. You know what I'm saying?
Right. You're not in church. And you're not, you know, dear Heavenly Parent, please have a school bus hit so-and-so and not hit the brakes. No skid marks, God.
Right.
Yeah. But I think we have inadvertently happened upon something here. You'll notice I didn't say come. No, we've happened upon something here. The Christians get all worked up about the homosexuals.
Right.
Being abominations and violators of blah, blah, blah. So what it boils down to is, and you know, if you're a lesbian, do you really want to think about your
no,
your deity, you know,
no,
all hung and stuff?
No.
Okay, so the Christians are basically saying is they object to the way that other people think about God's reproductive anatomy.
But he's a God. He doesn't have a
He was a rutting on my and I walked around there and I seen him and there he was a rutting on my Virgin Mary.
Oh Lord Jesus, these people. Well, you know, Bob, I'm sitting, you know, today is what, November the 2nd? So we have 6 more days of crazy. Unless you
just
know,
trying to help, if, Tracy. You know, just trying to help.
If that fool does win, then I'm really looking into Cuba. Jan and I are already talking about taking a trip to Cuba. I might not come back. Don't get it twisted. You know, we got a little bit of savings in the bank. I don't need to come back here if I don't have to. I'm pretty sure what money I have in the bank could go a long way in Cuba. So I'm just saying. But then again, even if he doesn't win, he's not going to concede because white male privilege.
No, I don't. Well, I don't know if you caught this or not, but the Bundy Bunch.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Are you ready? Are you ready for this?
I'm driving, but I'm ready because we're not going very fast. Traffic. Because I'm behind somebody that
The Bundy Bunch has said that it may be time for an armed revolution in the United States.
Oh, Jesus. Why does not somebody drop a building on these fools and end this? Where is that? What is it? Mortal Kombat, when they say, it, finish him?
Finish him, yes.
Can we
get over here.
Him? You know, it's like, dude. Seriously, you got off, okay? No, you know, STF, you shut up. Go somewhere, sit your asses down, and let us all breathe something and not have you hit. Like, you know, 2 or 3 times a day over their horse shit. But we can't get any camera coverage for what's happening in the Dakotas.
Pretty much.
It's like press pass on federally protected land. They damaged a bird sanctuary. There was damage. And they had the nerve to go send for snacks and stuff. And then we got...
And to stay with the theme, they got a big bag of dicks for the trouble.
People.
I mean, you know, just did.
Yeah, well, because that's what they are. And like you said, I didn't realize. Because, see, this is why I appreciate you and your show, because, you know, of all the stuff that I have learned about in the last, I can honestly say it's at least been, let's see, 4 years, Jen and I together. I'm doing that, figuring out. It's been at least, we've been talking together for at least 6 years. And I'm like, you know, there's so many things that I learned about, but mostly like about mountaintop removal and stuff like that. But even the stuff that I do know about, you know, like Christianity, but this is the stuff that you enlighten me on, and just the fact about, you know, God needing, you know, what does he need, you know, a penis for? Because he's God. What do you, and like you said, he wanted to know, you know, this new word. Well, I'm not, trust me, I'm not worried about sausage. Okay, so, I'm good. I don't care about that anymore. I hadn't cared about it for a long time. Any hue, so I'm good. But you're right. It's like, gee, why does he do that? Why do, you know? So, you know,
well, and if we sort of tease that thread out a little further, what we'll find is that the early church, of course, the first place that Saul of Tarsus, who went on the lam and therefore operated under an assumed name.
Right.
You know, aren't you Saul of Tarsus, the tent maker? No, you got me confused with some other guy. My name's Paul.
Right.
Well, when the first place he took Christianity outside of the Jewish world was, of course, the portion of the ancient Greek world that was simply referred to as Asia, much of which is taken up with Turkey. And
right.
What is now Lebanon, and that little bit of Syria that sticks out and touches the Mediterranean. And then he worked his way on across the Greek mainland, you know, preached in Athens, preached in Corinth, you know, that kind of thing, and winds up in Rome. And so the first converts to Christianity, Tracy,
were
Greeks.
Well, hello.
That is, and that, of course, is why the earliest forms of the Gospels and the letters of Paul are written in
Greek.
And at the time, the Greeks still had their Greek gods. And one of the things that we know is that as Christianity gains steam, that it begins to adopt the. Rather than adopting the, as I understand it, Jewish tradition of the time, which is much in line with what the Muslim tradition is, that you don't run around drawing
Hello.
Pictures of God, right?
Right.
Yeah. Well, the Greeks
yeah.
did. And so you wind up with God, you know, Jehovah, Yahweh, whatever, Almighty. He takes on the form of Zeus.
Yeah, yep.
And
his, care at all.
And his boy takes on the form of blue-eyed, strawberry-blonde Apollo. And then we get, and then of course there's that other god who, and Apollo is, and you know Nietzsche went into all of this stuff, and but you know Apollo is all about reason and thinking and logic, whereas there's another god who's all about, you know, getting drunk and dancing and playing the pipes and having a lot of sex and
Ooh,
that,
Loki?
No,
no, that's not Loki.
No, we're no,
Greek. I'm thinking of Norse. Okay,
yeah,
sorry.
Greeks, not Vikings, Tracy. No, we're talking about Dionysus, and of course Dionysus gets depicted with what? Cloven hooves and a tail and horns.
He's the devil. Oh, do it.
The devil.
Because he's the party animal.
So Paul just makes shit up out of whole cloth. I mean, let's just face it. He invents his own theology. He in,
Paul invents Christianity because Jesus was not a Christian.
Yeah, he did.
And so
he was Jewish.
Paul was Jewish, but, you know, he decided that he didn't like the brand. He wanted his own. He branched out. And so
David
that's Branch Davidians. No, but
I know. Well,
well played. So he overlays Christianity onto the Greek pantheon, and the next thing you know, God's got a schmeckle.
Well, isn't it true? I mean, because again, I didn't take, you know, I've never taken a world religion course or anything like that. But isn't it true that in order they were trying to do as much as, you know, Christianity was probably dying out at some point, and they're like, okay, what do we have to do to get some more people in? And they started taking on pagan traditions. That's why we have, I don't know, Christmas trees and Easter bunnies now.
Right, because, you know, every year, Jesus comes along, rises from the dead, and comes along and leaves chocolate eggs in your, you know, in your yard. They left Lincoln logs horrific in me sock drawer, and that's the miracle of Easter. God bless you, Bill Hicks. The prophet Bill Hicks. Yeah.
You know, there's certain people, I just wish that Bill Hicks and George Carlin were still alive right now.
Oh, either one would be fine, but to have both would be mighty fine.
You know, what a time. They would have a freaking field day. Because, like, you know, this crazy religion stuff isn't new. It's been here for a while. You know, like you said, we have, you know, Jerry Falwell and Pat Robertson. Why is he still alive?
Because evil is a preservative.
Okay, we have, but they've turned. It is now a fine to. They've honed their crazy. It was bad enough when Bush was running, in 2000 and 2004. But this was going out right here. I mean, at least Bush had the common decency. Even if he was a Klansman or anything like that, or, you know, white supremacist, at least he had the common decency to keep his, you know, sheets tucked, you know, in the closet or what, or, you know, on the bed where they belong. This fool right here, he don't care. And what's worse yet, nobody else seems to care. But, you know, but these people like, you know, Jim Baker and Pat Robertson and all these freaks who are overlooking the man is pure evil. There's nothing, there is absolutely nothing redeemable. My mother, who tries to find the good in everything and everybody, even she said, I was trying. Not that she would ever, I'd like to say, why were you trying to see anything redeemable in Trump? You weren't thinking about voting for it. She's like, oh, hell no. That wasn't going to happen. But she's like, I try to find the good or the redeemable in everybody. But she's like, this fool, no. There's something not right about him. There is something inherently. Even she's like, you know, shit, weren't his parents Klansmen? Remember they said that I'm driving when she said that. I'm like, oh God, please stop. You know, or, you know, don't do it, stupid. Please don't do it. Not you. This fool is seriously about to cut.
No, I know. I talk to other drivers too. It's okay.
So, but she didn't really rant that much, but she did kind of go on a mini rant. And she's like, I don't get it. And I'm like, those are your folks. Those are your Christian people. You are evangelical. So those, them are them. You know, those are the people who, and I'm like, because I don't want to really get into it with her because I don't want to keep, you know, pushing it about, gee, you know, aren't these most of, you know, how many people at your church think this way? And why would you go to a church that anybody, any member of your church will vote for Trump. Because if they're going to vote for Trump, they don't want you there. If I went to a church and I saw one bumper sticker, Trump bumper sticker or T-shirt or anything, I would have to turn around and leave and never come back. You know, she tries to say, well, you know, that's, you know, she tries to do that justification about, well, you know, blah, 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 blah. And we've heard the justification. That's just political. I said, no, that's in their heart. That's when you find out who people really are. That's why out here in California, I've seen, ever since it started, I've seen one Trump bumper sticker. Because at least the people who I know that are voting for Trump out here, they know that if he does lose.
Yep. I know. Well, I'm trying to just kind of go to a happy place or be in something resembling a happy place. But, you know, these last few days, but it's kind of hard to just pretend that everything's okay. Tracy? Oh, I think we lost Tracy. Oh, there's Tracy. Yeah, just walked out without saying anything, huh? Tracy?
Oh, can you hear me?
Now.
Oh, that was weird. I lost it. It was just like, see, I said Trump, and then I lost the signal.
Yeah, well, I gathered that after a little bit, but... All I know is, you know, I'm nervous. I live in a place where the default position is to assume, with almost very few exceptions, that you're talking to a Trumpanzee.
Right.
And any of them can go sideways anytime.
Right. That's what frightens me about.
I mean,
where
it's
mom is.
Well, yeah, where your mom lives, but I mean, even there, you know, it's half and half.
She doesn't live actually in Fayetteville anymore, where it was a little bit more metropolitan. She lives up in the hollow, I call it. She had her husband. They have one of those trailers that, you know, is built on. So you have the trailer and you have had the parts built. When I first saw it, I wanted to cry because I'm like, what is this? I was like, I wasn't prepared for it, Bob. I mean, it was just, that's a whole nother.
Well, Trump, according, and I know, I get email from, you know, why are you going to 538, Bob? Quit telling people how to look at poll forecasting. but according to 538,
not 420.
The Orange Menace's chances are now up to 32.3% of winning. Now, that's 17.7% away from 50%. And if Hillary Clinton continues to shed percentage points, then let's see. Since Friday, that's 17.
You're doing it. You're trying to add
19.
A track, Bob. Why
that's 19 points since Friday. So Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. That's 3 points, about almost 4 points a day. And so we've got 6 days, 24. Okay. 24 points. Okay. So if he was to pick up 24 percentage points a day between now and the election,
he wins.
Now, these are just percentage points projections.
What's Nate Silver saying?
That is Nate Silver.
Okay, so that makes me even more nervous.
North Carolina is only the palest of pale blue. Florida is pale pink. Nevada, tomato, tomato, is the palest of pale blue.
Maine is suddenly getting paler. New Hampshire's pale. Pennsylvania is getting paler. Ohio is outright pink. And, of course, West Virginia, Alabama, Louisiana, Oklahoma, blood red.
But see, again, Comey, that rat bastard, like you said, releasing emails or whatever that she didn't even write. Cummings, when he's like, and we're still waiting on, you know, investigations on Russia hacking or trying to hack our election or the ties between Russia and Mr. Trump. But that goes unanswered. But then you're going to release emails that she didn't write. Yeah, that's not bias. Like you said, how many emails do we have? I mean, I was looking at because we were having a conversation yesterday about the damn emails, and then I went to my spam folder, and I'm like, holy cow. You know?
Yep.
And then, you know, from people that I know whose email accounts have been hacked. So, of course, it's going to be like, you know, like Bob Kincaid to Tracy Porter or what have you, because you've been hacked. Not even hacked, but what is it? When they copy your email, but you haven't been hacked, but they just copy somehow clone. Yeah, they clone your email address. That's cloning, right? Not hacking, but cloning.
Or phishing.
Phishing, something, whatever the case may be. You know, so it is just, oh, and like you said, it was metadata. Even I'm learning about see those little things.
Yeah, well, you have to. By the way, since it is Wednesday, though, there's one other story that deserves mention, and this is just...
Oh, come on,
straight up nasty. And no, it has nothing to do with Miss Aggrieved White Privilege 2016.
Okay, see, thank you for that, Bob, because I am driving, and I can't snatch a bitch.
No, this is just, I mean, this is the kind of thing that wakes up old horrors. Greenville, Mississippi, Tracy.
Well, that's where my stepfather, the evil one, hopefully he's going to spit little thing in hell. But go ahead.
Hopewell MB Church, local black church.
Yep, Missionary Baptist.
Yep.
That's where I grew up in.
Well, last night it got torched.
Wait, in Greenville?
Mississippi.
Did it say the name of the pastor of that church?
No.
The only reason why I ask is, you know, as much as I can, my stepfather, his family's from Greenville. And actually, his brother still lives in Greenville, and he's the pastor of a church, of a Missionary Baptist church. So that's what you said, and I'm like, but then again, if it was somebody from that other half of the family, I probably would have heard about it by now.
Well, apparently, somebody called in the fire to the Greenville Fire Department. When they showed up, I mean, I'm looking at a photo here. It's a brick building, but the windows are out. There's smoke, you know, damage. Apparently, the sanctuary just was ablaze. And on the way out, presumably the arsonists used a great big can of course, white spray paint to spray paint on the brick exterior of the church two words. Vote Trump.
Oh. Wow. So in other words, you come and burn down my church and spray paint it. Is that terrorism, Bob?
Yes, that's terrorism.
Okay, I'm just checking.
And then there's what happened in Texas.
Oh, do tell, Bob, do tell.
So, you know, there are laws against electioneering.
So in at Collin College, Texas, somebody put a Trump sign up on an official polling site sign. They zip-tied it to the official, you know, because you can't tear the zip ties. That's why they use them for impromptu handcuffs.
Mm-hmm.
And whoever did this knew that somebody would come and grab the sign and try to tear it down.
Oh, God. Oh, because it was, okay.
And that's why they embedded box cutter razor blades in the sign.
I knew this was...
And, you know, and hid them.
Kind of like...
And so, when, and so a poll worker volunteer was slashed by the hidden blades. The cuts have been described as not serious and maybe within the framework of not life-threatening, not maiming, not permanently damaging... But this is plenty damn serious.
This is the thing. Like I said, my mom, where they live is pretty, you know, pretty rural. So there's not a lot of black folks there. So she doesn't. I don't, you know, because she doesn't live in one of those quote unquote the communities that, you know, the Trump plantees are, you know, are patrolling. My brother that lives in Atlanta, same thing. The few times that I visited him, I think there might have been one black family in his development. Pretty much everybody else around that part of town is white. Now, my other brother who lives in Atlanta, I don't know exactly where he lives. He's the one that, you know, I'm a lesbian, so we don't talk because I'm an abomination. But I don't know what part of town he lives in. If he lives in one of those quote-unquote communities. So I have a legitimate worry. Not only for my family members, but anybody that, you know, that looks like me that lives in these communities. That these people have lost their rabbit. They're rabid. I was telling my mom, I said, I could have handled a John McCain presidency, as long as he stayed alive and Sarah Palin was not within a hair's breadth of the nuclear code. I could have even handled Mittens as well. I didn't think that Mittens nor John McCain would, you know, openly destroy, you know, set out to, you know, nuke our neighbors or something like that because, you know, somebody said something about either one of them. And, you know, I didn't have to worry about them going on a Twitter rant at 3 o'clock in the morning because, you know, somebody made, you know, looking for, you know, saying that somebody made a sex tape. These things I did not have to worry about, you know, eight years and then, you know, 4 years ago. But this fool here, see, I found out, have you seen, what is it, THOT? Have you seen that one yet?
No.
Okay. Got the all in capital letters, but that hole over there. So we're going to have to come with TAOT, that asshole over there, referring to Trump.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't know what they're going to do. I do not know. Well, we do know what he's going to do. And that's the scary part. Because he's predictable in his okay, you need to help me wordsmith. He's predictable in that he's unpredictable. Does that make sense? That we know he's crazy.
He's crazier than a sprayed roach. Can we just go there?
Right. Yes. 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 But at least with a sprayed roach, you can step on it. You can squash his ass. Okay. We won't have that luxury with, you know, the Donald. I don't know, Bob. What do you, I mean, again, your thoughts?
Yeah.
You know, like, y'all? It's just the crazy, because see, his crazy is directly going to affect my life. I don't know.
Well, okay, here's the thing. He's only the president. The Congress passes laws, but here's the thing. The Republicans will get their dreams. I mean, we're talking about the real sticky ones with him in the White House, because whatever insanity he passes, they pass, he'll sign.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, if they pass a law that says all persons named Hillary Clinton shall be imprisoned for life, he'll sign it.
Or burned at the stake. Burned at the stake.
He'll sign it. And, you know, they've promised that the first thing they'll do is overturn Obamacare, the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act, and throw a few million people out of health care. And here's the fun part, Tracy. Here's the really hilarious part. A whole bunch of those people that he's promised to take their health care from them are going to go and vote for him, hoping that he will do it.
That's the crazy part.
Oh, no.
That's the part I don't get. I mean, like you said.
No, yeah, that's swirly straw in the cheap tequila bottle crazy.
Right, because you're going, okay, this man has vowed, and has not offered a plan.
Sick, poor white people who vote for God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, homosexual Republicans in Alabama will vote for Donald Trump, even though they need health care more than they need prayer in schools.
Right. Or protecting the fetuses.
Sick people in Louisiana Louisiana, Mississippi, Stan, what have you, they will vote for Donald Trump, even though Republicans pose a greater threat to them continuing to be alive than fucking ISIS does, Tracy.
Right, or gay people, okay, or like
I'm sure folks. There's some self-hating gay people going to vote for Trump.
I know
of at least one.
There are. You know, but it's like gay people or black people or, like you said, poor people. To go and vote for a man, like if the Republicans actually had a plan, they said, okay, we're going to repeal Obamacare. Okay, great. All right. So what's your plan, Stan? What are you going to do to replace it? And I hear crickets. Because they have no plan.
Well, they're not going to replace it. They don't give a shit about pre-existing conditions. They don't care if young millennials have access to health care. They don't care if women are charged more than men for the same health insurance. They don't give a damn.
Because, you know, Jesus.
Yeah. Oh, but they're gonna authorize health care savings account. You know, because if I put $5 a week in a health care savings account, sure, I can afford to have that heart transplant a few years down the road. Damn straight.
Right. Or just to be able to go to make sure that your diabetes isn't off the charts. Better yet, finding out that you might even have diabetes because, you know, diabetes, silent killer. Not a lot of, you know, symptoms that people go for, I don't know, years without even knowing that they're diabetic. But now because of Obamacare and, you know, checkups and preventative medicine, they're getting checked and finding out, shit, bitch, you've been running around with diabetes. You might want to do something about that. But with King Trump, you stupid, Hair Trump. I too many people, and then God only knows what they're gonna do to Social Security. I mean, remember did I tell you how much I got this? What I'm getting in January for my cost of, you know, my increase next year, a month?
No.
$4.
Don't spend it all in one place.
I'm telling you.
That's one hand of Mississippi stud, right?
Yes. No, It is not. It is not. It's the, because the ante is $5. So I can play, I can't even play the, I can't even put the ante. It's only because it's $5. And that's only if it's on, if it's before, because on weekends they raise the minimum. So Sunday through Friday, it's like 8 o'clock. The ante, the minimum bet is $5. And that's only just for the ante. So if you want to see, you know, the flop, then you got to, that's at least, depending on, you know, your card, you're talking the minimum $10, and hopefully, you know, you see the flop and it's like, oh, okay, I can play, you know, it's worth me playing that hand. But if not, it's going to cost you about $20 to see the cards, all of them. You know, the second, the third, the first, second, the third draw. So, yeah, no. I can't even put, I have to wait a year. Let's see. So, $5 a month. So, basically, I would have to wait, no, $4 a month. I would have to wait 4 months, maybe 5 months. See, I have to add, you know, and multiply and all that madness. I'd have to wait at least 5 months to play a full hand of Mississippi Stud.
Jesus. Hey Tracy, I got to roll. I got to roll. We got a line. We got a line behind you now. But I thank you for the conversation.
Good.
It is always fun.
Well, have we gotten any new subscribers to beat my challenge yet, or anything like that?
Not as yet. We actually had a cancellation today.
Oh well. Well, don't forget to mention it again, just in case there's people listening that weren't listening yesterday.
I did at the top of the program.
Oh, you did. Okay, cool. See, okay. I didn't hear the top of the program. Well, mention it again. Just keep talking. Anyway,
I will.
Good talking, Bob. Thank you for listening to my rant. Keep on keeping on, and you know, Trump's not gonna be president. Never Trump. Never Trump. All right. I'm
later,
out.
Tracy.
Later.
Our buddy Tracy calling from the wild the wild highways of Southern California. And what she was talking about, she and Ralphs both have rewards on the table for new subscribers. Namely, and to wit, new subscribers get their first month, courtesy of Ralphs, between now and Election Day. And in honor of the 11th anniversary of the Horn, new subscribers get their first month subscription bounced by $11. And Tracy has added to that, saying the next 10 new subscribers between now and the 11th of November get $5 added to their first month's subscription. So Ralphs and Tracy are trying to make this easy. They're trying to make this attractive because that's how we keep this all on the air. You know, we go into the each program, $200 in fundraising to go. We've got a $50 challenge on the table right now. We are at, zero. Yes, zero. Meanwhile, let's run over to the stress line and check in with Jim down in Louisiana Stan. Hey, Jim. Jim, did you give up on me? Jim, you're there. You're connected. Oh, Jim. Okay, well. We'll move over then to Scott and Punky in San Diego. Hey, Scott.
Hello, Bob.
How are you?
Well,
hey, Punky.
I'm pretty well. Punky's okay, too. We're just okay because, just because. We're upright, we're above ground, and we know the key to happiness. And the key to happiness is being okay with whatever's happening, because sooner or later, something else will occur that will shift the situation. But anyway, I'm not a theologian, Lord knows. But as you and Tracy were talking about whether or not the Almighty has a dingus or a snatch or whatever, it got me to thinking that... I don't know where it is, and it's probably from one of the epistles, where the phrase, you know, in Christ there is no Greek or Jew, male or female, slave or free, and that's probably, if it is an epistle, it's probably Paul's writing. But to me, if there is an Almighty, the Almighty, without half trying, transcends any notion of him or her or it that we could possibly come up with. Okay? So I just, you know, I'm not really what you would call a believer or a religious person. If anything, I'm open to all possibilities, but I do understand that there's probably nobody there. Or if there is a God, he's probably in another county hair-lipping some poor innocent child, you know?
Right. I mean, every time I've ever prayed to a deity to make sure some hungry child got fed, it turned out he was busy helping some shortstop hit a home run over the short porch, or helping a wide receiver catch a touchdown.
Yeah, but to get back to the broader topic, you know, when they want to bring sex and sexuality and behavior into it, and by they I mean the religious types, it doesn't really matter whether it's Judeo-Christian, Islam. Any of them. It makes no difference. Bottom line, it's all about the dynamic of controlling humanity and human behavior using fear and social engineering or manipulation. Okay?
Yeah, social pressure. If
you look back over history, all of these belief systems have contributed to the bringing about of more havoc, division, death, and destruction than they've ever prevented, okay?
Yes.
And, you know, hell, if you look back as recently in our own history as the two terms of dim leader, George W. Bush, you may as well say that the country was run by a mob of Armageddonist whack jobs. Now, these are delusional, paranoid, psychotic people whose every move is influenced by their imagined, invisible, angry old man in the sky. Okay? So that alone should be a huge stop sign for people to say, wait a minute, there's a different way of being, and the appropriate way, the loving and creative way, is not that. You know? And just one more thing about sexuality, and then I'll get off it, is... some years ago, back in the 70s, I had occasion to cross paths with a writer. I don't know that he was a theologian or exactly what his label was as far as his profession or his training. But he wrote a book whose title I forget, but his name is or was Michael England, E-N-G-L-A-N-D. And if you Google something like sexuality and Bible and Michael England, it should bring up whatever the book was. And it deals a lot of it with same-sex sexuality. But if I recall correctly, he does bring into it, to undergird his argument, the Judeo-Christian thinking in ancient times about how they portrayed the man-woman relationships to be. In other words, the preferred way of being if you're a man and or a woman, okay? But anyway, his stuff is worth looking at because it'll give you a sense of just how picky and petty religions can be if you give them half a chance. They're not about inclusion. They're about exclusion. They're not about freedom and liberty and liberation. They're about control and manipulation and scaring the fluorescent piss out of people if they can get
away. Well, and I would add with the caveat that when they get to the point of being, you know, in the term the anthropologists use, an ecclesiastical cult,
mm-hmm.
Because I'm not aware of any of the faith systems of, say, indigenous people on this continent saying, you know, we're sorry, you're not worshiping the corn goddess quite correctly. You're bound for hell
you know, concepts of hell had to be introduced to a number. I mean, it's like the Jesuits used to have this running joke about what happened when they first got to Polynesia. The Jesuits used to joke that when they got to Polynesia, the Polynesians didn't have a word for homosexuality. They only learned it after the Jesuits taught it to them.
Well, just in terms of the indigenous people of the North American continent, as I recall, there are at least several tribes or groups of indigenous folks in this, what became America, for whom the idea of women being in charge was no big deal, and for whom the issue of same-sex relationships was no big deal. As a matter of fact, you remember the movie Little Big Man, Dustin Hoffman movie?
One of my favorites.
Okay. Well, there seems to me that there was a character in that movie who was a Native American character and was effeminate, okay? And some people looked down on him. But one of the elders in the tribe went on to explain.
I believe that was Little Horse.
Yeah. Okay. I bet you that's who it was. I haven't seen the movie for a while, but and we supposedly, the white people, discovered this country, which is interesting. Dick Gregory also always used to talk about how the hell can someone discover some place that's already occupied, you know? He gave the example, would be like me and my wife Lucille walking down the street and seeing you sitting in your shiny new Buick and saying, hey, baby, that's a nice car. Let's go discover it, you know?
Well, let's also remember something else, Scott. Before you get Christianity, there's really not much in the way of a history of so-called religious wars. That's something Christianity and Islam pretty much invent. And to a certain extent, the stuff that's recounted in the Old Testament, you know, of the children of Israel. But to have people go, for the most part, having people going on the march, carrying their God, you know, sure, they'd carry their God before them and pray for the favor of their gods, but they weren't killing people for not believing the right way. The Christians and the Muslims are the ones who perfect that, and they do it to each other.
Yeah, well, it's that notion of Sunni and Shiite in as far as the two main Muslim groupings. Those poor bastards have been at one another's throat ever since there were groupings like Shiite and Sunni. And you look at Christianity. Hell, the Protestants and the Catholics in our own lifetime in Northern Ireland went batshit crazy on one another for years. The better part of the 20th century, in fact. So these examples serve to underpin my argument that it's all horseshit, because whenever you get into a notion of this group being the, quote, chosen people, whether it's Jews or certain denominational Christians over other denominational Christians or Muslims or any other group, you know, my group's better than your group because the Creator said so, or we say that the Creator said so, you're setting yourself up for trouble. And my question is, when does the shift occur? I would say for the last 30 years, there's been an undercurrent of a shift in thought and behavior and realization by people that as soon as a magic tipping point is hit, that will become the new trend. And these other limited, low-frequency ways of being will fall off over time. When does the, you know... I think they called it the Age of Aquarius back in the late 60s and into the 70s. But a global shift in perception When does that happen? I signed up for it a long time
ago. I don't think you can have it as long as there's as long as the monotheistic religions hold sway. I don't think you can have it. Because
I want my deposit back because I signed up for it and I thought the tickets would be here by now.
Yeah, well, sadly, you may have dealt with it. You may have dealt with a skeevy scalper.
Uh oh.
Yeah, I know. Sucks, doesn't it?
Yeah, but and see, when you think in terms of where we are politically. Okay, and I know we're just sick to death about this election cycle, but when you look at the average person who likes the demented circus peanut, as I am wont to call him, Donald Trump, they have in common with these religious, quote, religious folks that I've described, many, many attributes. They're low information, they're low frequency, they're low in term of their awareness,
intelligence, low IQ,
intelligence. They are simplistic to a fault. Okay, in terms of, you know, to simple minds will come simple so-called answers or solutions. And it is frightening. I know that we go back and forth about who I think is going to win versus who you think might win, but. If you have an understanding of where they're coming from, I would tend to think that there are more people who are not part of that group thing, okay? And I hope to God I'm right, because I know it would be easy to dismiss it and say, well, we survived 8 years of W. So we ought to be able to survive this. Well, this is different. This is different. The notion of a Trump presidency is different from anything that's come before, because there is a rabid nature to it. There is a hateful nature to it. And it fits right in with the mindset of a lot of people. They were just waiting for the guy. You know, what are you doing? I'm waiting for the guy, okay? And Trump, by all appearances, seems to be the guy that they've been waiting for.
Well, they've been waiting for someone who would give them access to power and, more importantly, credibility, especially when you're talking about the white supremacists.
Yeah, so, well, like the movie Network, Howard Beale was praised by Arthur Jensen, the shady industrialist who ran everything, if you know the movie, as the one who was articulating the popular rage, okay? Well, that's who Trump is. He's articulating the popular rage, though it's not, when you say something is popular, that to me only indicates there are a fair number of people who buy into those notions. But it's certainly not overwhelming in terms of the mindset of most folks. This is why I say there is hope. But then I'm a where's the pony kind of guy. So.
I'm a what happened to my wristwatch kind of guy.
Yeah.
and okay. You know, that's what's being practiced on the GOP side of this debate. And but it's national, it's state level. I'm looking at a story right now, coming from BuzzFeed's DC bureau chief, a guy named John Stanton, who went down to New Orleans for a Louisiana Senate debate, which is going to feature David Duke, KKK Grand Wizard David Duke. And people who attend Dillard University have said they don't want him anywhere near the property. So necessarily, instead of disinviting a member of the fucking Klan, what are they doing? They're arresting students.
Well, there's your answer right there. That's how to approach the problem. Don't... don't disinvite the evil force from the venue, arrest and detain the people who are decrying the fact that you're not barring David Duke from the premises. There you go. That's it in a nutshell.
Freedom,
that's
baby.
Crazy. Well, that's how fucking crazy we've become.
Mean, and the thing is, Dillard is a historically black institution of higher learning. And one student has said that the college president, Walter Kimbrough, quote, is now a symbol of white supremacy. That's got a sting. But, so, you know, we're, oh, well, you know, political freedom, First Amendment, y'all. So, yeah, okay, we're gonna, I mean, and look, I mean, David Duke can get into a Senate debate in Louisiana, but, you know, Jill Stein can't debate, well, I mean, okay, let's make it Gary Johnson, because he actually got a couple of percentage points.
Well, he was also a governor at one time, twice elected, as I recall.
But what? I don't know here. Is David Duke the Republican nominee for that Senate seat?
Well, I can answer that for you. Hang on here. If I can find my little map.
And where the Republicans are concerned, they don't give a goddamn if you're the re-embodiment of Adolf fucking Hitler, as long as he helps you maintain your majority in the Senate, because party first, baby.
Oh, and I'm on the wrong page. Okay, I'm on Senate now for Louisiana. Well, this is saying unknown is running. That can't be right, because by now we would know who the damn candidate is.
I think that's because David Duke was the nominee. And the Republican Party's like, oh, shit.
Well, all right, wait a minute. David Duke. Louisiana Senate.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, I got Jim in Louisiana Stan on the other line. He might be able to answer this question.
He should know.
All right, I'll check in with him. Scott, you have a good night, and say goodnight to Punky for me.
Okay, Bob, and say hello to Jim for me.
All right, I think you just did.
Okay.
Later. Bye now.
Bye.
Hey, Jim. Jim. Hold on, wait a minute. Wait, don't do anything. Just a minute. Stand by. Okay. There you
go. It's weird. I mean, Louisiana Stan always can't get out of the news as an asshole, David Duke.
Well, sorry. I mean, yeah, but...
Hey, it's news. I mean, it's, you know... It's,
I mean, the student protesters are...
Away. I mean, I'm trying to help my mom out now, but I'm not going to do that for a while.
The student protesters are there chanting, no Duke, no KKK, no fascist USA, so they're the ones getting arrested.
Yeah, but I did write... I just heard a little joke a little while ago.
Yeah? Jim?
Do you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead.
Do you hear me?
Yes.
So, what do David do? Well, not David Duke. What do HRC and Bush 2 have in common?
I don't know.
Stolen election. Ba-doom-ba, very much.
Yeah, you know, if only. But seriously, is David Duke the Republican nominee for Senate down there?
I keep him still a little. I'm so. I'm going to vote my Jill Stein, and I'm so politics down here. I'm just. And I've tried to see who's running for Senate, and it seems like every fucking asshole who's running is a right wing whack job. Because I've seen commercials, but it seems like one's trying to out right wing the other. I mean. Hello?
Yeah, I'm here.
I mean, from the commercials, and like I said, I mean, most of my time media time. I don't watch too much TV. It just bores me now, you know. Even shows I used to like, I can't. I'm not saying I don't get into Law and Order marathon binge sometimes. But for the most part, it's just, I'd rather just be on the internet, you know, go on Twitter, look on other things.
Well, I'm trying to find it now, and I'm not having a lot of luck.
Find what?
Finding out about the Louisiana Senate race.
Oh. I imagine it's still open. Well, no. Yeah, because they're gonna have to have the runoff. Yeah, because the runoff's gonna have to correspond with the presidential election. There's no more elections this year, so it's probably the runoff for the. And Louisiana has open primaries, so you could technically have two Republicans running for the Senate. I know there's a Senate.
The whole point of all this is that David Duke qualified for the debate. So that means he is you're telling me it's a runoff. That means he's a candidate for the seat. Right? You there, Jim? Okay, let's try this again. Okay, Jim, are you there? Jim?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he can't be a Republican. I don't think he will win the Republican nomination. So maybe some sort of third party. But even then, they could just,
I got the answer now. Republican State Treasurer John Kennedy has 24.2% of polling data. Democrat Foster Campbell has 18.9%, and David Duke has 5.2%.
But what is he running as?
Independent.
But I mean, and I know you don't like Jill Stein, but under those same circumstances, she would qualify almost for a seat at the debate table, as would Gary Johnson or whatever his name is.
At 5%, yeah. Well, I mean, in the presidential forum, it was 15%, but I guess in something like a state race, 5% is enough.
Well, it is Louisiana, Stan,
But what's interesting is I saw three candidates there. The Republican has 24.2, the Democrat has 18.9, and the Klansman has 5.2. Does that mean that, let's see... 24, 34, 44, 42. Does that mean 53% of Louisiana voters just don't want any of them?
I would be one of them, but, you know, I'm very far left. So. I would hope for a Democrat Democrats to me in the last 6 months or so, that's just a meaningless term almost. There's very few Democrats I like anymore. I mean, I'm so fucking pissed off by what I view happened to Bernie Sanders and the American and the voting public. It's like, fuck them. Go ahead, fuck it up. I don't care anymore. You know, I've kind of reached that point, and this just hit me at the moment. But it's like, go ahead, fuck it up. You seem to be doing it anyway. I mean, am I wrong?
I think you are.
You have a lot more optimism than I do.
I think you're wrong, Jim, insofar as, say, I mean, you're kind of inferring that there's no difference between the two between the two major parties. I remember when we were told that back in 2000. When Ralph Nader said that there wasn't a dime's worth of difference between Al Gore and George W. Bush. Boy, we sure learned our lesson the hard way on that one, didn't we?
Yeah, well, we'll see. And, you know, how well, you know, I mean, I'm sure she'll have us out of the fucking 14-year war we've been in, which Obama did, failed to get us out of. I mean, what are we there for? Honor? And I'm sure it's real honor for those American soldiers.
No, we're still in Afghanistan because there's a hell of a lot of precious resources that we don't want the Chinese to get their hands on. That's why
we're there because of money. Yeah, exactly.
We're back in Iraq because George W. Bush fucked up the status of forces agreement. Which meant, so Barack Obama did pull us out of Iraq. He kept his promise. Now we've got military advisors back on the ground in there because the Iraqis are not exactly a high-quality fighting force in trying to oppose a bunch of assholes with American weapons that they picked up when the Iraqis threw them down, running around in, you know, used Toyota pickup trucks.
Yeah. When we invaded and fucked the country up totally. Yeah. Yeah. I remember that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I understand what you're saying, Bob, but I just don't see a lot of good coming out of this shit. And we just keep on seeing, and the military industrial complex just seems to keep on making money fist over fist over
fist.
Well,
I mean,
American people don't get jack shit.
That's what it's designed to do.
No, I know, but it's time to change it. I mean, maybe HRC will have a come to Jesus moment, but I'm not holding my breath. So I'm voting Jill Stein. So you know.
Well, that's fine. You know, in Louisiana, it's not an issue. I would have more strenuous words for you if you were in Pennsylvania or Ohio or Florida. But in Louisiana, nah, it don't matter.
Is it too late for me to move and there's my voter registration cap?
Well, yeah. I mean, yeah. Ohio doesn't need another Stein voter.
Yeah, well, in Ohio, you know, Ford did in Ohio, but no, it's, I just really... Yeah, it's like the Stone song. I had it with you. And I know that's part of the process to get you so burnt out that you don't even care how you vote. And it does kind of work.
Well, yeah. I mean, this is an element, like I mentioned last night, this is an element of voter suppression. If you can just get people so disgusted with the idea of participating in their own governance that they just stay the hell home... Well, there are certain people for whom that's a very good thing.
Yeah. And, I mean, there is the option of I can't stand any... I mean, I don't know how many parties are running in Louisiana. I mean, other than... I mean, I know the Green Party, I know the Democrats, I know the Republicans, I know the pseudo-Republicans, the super-Republicans, what are they called? What are the super Republicans called?
Teabaggers?
No. What's his name? The guy who always seems like he's stoned at the meetings.
Libertarians.
Debate. Yeah, well, usually there's like 4 or 8 other parties on the ballots. It seems from the memory serves me correctly from years gone by. You know.
Well, I'm told, Marty tells me actually that the debate would be John, this evening at Dillard University, would be John Kennedy, Charles Bustani, John Fleming, David Duke, and then the Democrats are Foster Campbell and Carolyn Fayard.
That's a lot of people. There's 2 Democrats. Well, then that's like an open. I don't know why they have Neil. I don't know. I don't really keep up with Louisiana politics that much. I guess I'll see like the Greens that were running. And then I'll vote for them. If no Green, maybe a Democrat. Or maybe I'll just abstain. Yeah.
Well.
Part of the new Green Tea.
I mean, if you went and voted for a Democrat in the Senate race, it would probably be helpful.
Yeah. Well, the Democrats are fucking pissing me off pretty fucking good. Not to think about that. And I will think about it. But at this moment, it's up in the air. And it gives those fucking assholes something to think about next time they decide to fuck up the best candidate of the century, as far as I'm concerned.
Bernie was a great candidate. It's a pity that, you know, the Democratic Party didn't do that nearly so much as, like, the boomers did.
I think the Democratic Party, the DNC, had a hell of a lot to fucking do with it, okay? Don't get me started on conspiracy. And I'm not, you know, a lot of things don't happen by accident, okay? I have no doubt.
I mean, I watched it happen here in West Virginia. This was not the DNC at work. I watched the boomers side dramatically and decidedly, for the most part, with Hillary, and this is one of those states where she got just, you know, whipped by Bernie.
No. I understand that with especially southern states. Don't even get me started on the southern states. Well, why aren't the primaries more evenly split? Why are they so heavily loaded in the South? And it's been that way since the 70s. And the South is traditionally ass backwards and very conservative.
Yeah.
And you know, we're spread it out because it's actually a very small part of the population. You know, relatively speaking, I mean, it's no bigger than actually compared to out west. If you really want to get real, spit out with California. Spit out west, California, where, you know, we have a lot more people. Still in Minnesota, more liberal places. Boy, but those are somewhere in the middle where all of a sudden when somebody's behind, somebody will think twice about voting for them. You can't tell me that's not in the psychology of that.
Well, I don't know, Jim, but I'm going to try to get another call or two in. You have yourself a good evening, all right?
All right, well.
Hang in there.
I hope you like my joke. Have a good one.
All right, later. Bye now. And, quick bit of news. We are halfway to meeting Brother Deacon Ace's $50 challenge. Thank you, Keith. Thank you very, very kindly to Keith for doing that. 25 more bucks, that challenge is met, and then there's only 70 bucks to go to finish off fundraising for the evening with 15 minutes remaining in the program. Let's go over and check in with Steve in Georgia, Stan. What do you say, Steve?
Bob.
Steve.
Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for making it.
Oh, man. Just need you to walk me off the ledge here. Maybe you can, you know.
With 6 days remaining, I may not be that guy.
Yeah, every morning, I send you these updates from Nate Silver, and I play the stock market, okay, for the last 15 years, and you always watch the trend. And the way this trend going, it's not good, man.
It's not. If he picks up 3 or 4 points a day,
we're toast.
On the other hand, I did see a report. Okay, maybe this will get you off the ledge. I saw a report just a few minutes ago, courtesy of Reuters and Ipsos. And in real, actual, no kidding polling, not those percentage chances of winning that Nate Silver traffics in. Hillary Clinton has the same lead over Donald Trump, 6 points, that she had before James Comey tried to hijack the election.
And he's still trying to hijack it. Now he's got a Twitter feed or something where he's putting out negative crap on Clinton that happened 25 years ago.
Yeah, well, he also put out negative crap about Trump. That's the FBI. Yeah, that's the, I don't know, it's the FBI deep archive. It just kind of stinks, the timing of it. But I tell you what's particular. I mean, if I was James Comey, the most humiliating thing out of all of this is that he has now been called down. No shit. James Comey has been called down by the 15-year-old victim in the Anthony Weiner sexting case.
Well, yeah, everybody's calling him down. I mean, everybody within his inner circle told him he shouldn't do that. It's breaking the cardinal rule. It's an unspoken rule that you don't say anything negative about a candidate 60 days before an election. And why he did that, it has to be for purely partisan reasons. Now, I've heard other people say, no, maybe not. Maybe he's got some real dirt on Trump that he's going to bring out and he wants to be credible. But if Trump's elected, even if it is real dirt, what's it going to matter? Then we end up with Mike Pence. We're right back where we started, in the shithole, you know?
Well, one thing we have to come to grips with, Steve, is that this little community that we have here, we kind of live in a bubble. You know what I mean?
We
make certain assumptions here that don't necessarily apply to the population writ large. This country may be sick to death with the experiment in self-government. We may just be tired of it. We may be, because, look, under certain circumstances, the argument could be made that living with fascism is easy. You just keep your head down and hope they don't knock on the door.
That ain't no way to live, Bob.
No, I mean, it is if the only thing that matters to you is, making sure you catch the latest episode of pick some vacuous program.
But don't the masses realize pensions, Social Security, healthcare, everything as we know it?
No. Well, significant portion of the population has already been told not to expect to collect Social Security because it's broke.
But it's not broke.
No, it's not.
That's the biggest lie ever perpetrated, you know?
But there was Martha Raddatz. Wasn't she just babbling on about how are you going to fix Social Security because Social Security's going broke? She did that, remember?
Yes, sir.
In the debate.
I don't have any hard numbers, but the last I heard, they have at least enough to keep it fully funded for the next 30, maybe 40 years going forward.
It's more like 17, but what we'll do is we'll wait until year 16 and 364 days, and then we'll say, oh my God, we've got to do something, and then the Pete Peterson plan will come in, and I won't collect Social Security till I'm fucking 90.
That's the whole.
I mean, there's a micro game and a macro game at work here.
The micro is more frightening.
And the Republicans are good, very good, far better than the Democrats at playing the long con. And they've been preaching that Social Security is going broke for a generation now because five generations ago when it was passed or whatever, they hated it then, and they have been working on killing it ever since.
Well, they've been working on killing it since its inception.
That's what I just said, yeah.
Trace the trail back, yeah. I mean, the first president that came out after it was instituted ran on killing.
Yeah, because it was communism.
Yeah, and Reagan cut a spoken word album, I don't know, back in the early 60s. You're probably aware of this, about the evils of Medicare. I don't know if you're aware of that or not.
Yeah, I am.
It's out there. I mean,
leads to communism. Oh, man, it'll lead to communism. Yeah, I've heard it. It's on YouTube, I think.
Just we're in a hell of a mess, and I'm hopefully just being a cynical bastard, and you know we're not that stupid collectively that we're going to put this fascist son of a bitch in.
Alabama is.
Oh, so is Georgistan.
South Carolina is. Tennessee is. Arkansas is. Louisiana is. Oklahoma, Texas. But the question is, are there enough sane people to save us from them?
I don't know. You tell me.
We got to wait till Tuesday.
That's my next
question. It's like Christmas on bad acid. Am I going to get a bicycle? Got to wait till Christmas.
What are we going to do Tuesday? Slam tequila or?
I was going to talk to Sparky about it, but I figure we'll just do a front porch.
I mean, we won't know anything by the time the show ends.
I mean, that's the tough part.
Right.
You know, I don't think I've got it in me to do, you know, some sort of
a marathon.
Epic marathon. No.
No, you got to pick people up and all that. You know, I dig.
Well, that, and I think I'm going to have to, like, put a straw in a liquor bottle.
Yeah.
Or, you know, smoke some crystal meth crocodile or something.
Something to keep our sanity.
Just to take the edge off.
Just don't know how much more of this I could take. Oh, I don't know how much more of this my liver can take, to be real, you know.
I think my liver's okay. I don't know how much my brain can take. My soul, for lack of a better term.
It's very nerve-wracking. It's been the most nerve-wracking election in my lifetime. And, I don't, you know, we're about the same age, and I can't speak for you, but I'd venture to say you probably feel the same.
Well, I got grandkids. I'm scared. And understand, even under the best of circumstances, I'm scared for their future because of what we're not doing about climate change.
And all three debates, nobody even mentioned climate change.
No, it hasn't been mentioned since 2008.
And since you brought that up, if you got National Geographic,
I've seen it.
It's right up there with The Inconvenient Truth. The Leonardo DiCaprio movie, highly recommended watching it. What's it called? Before the Flood? Highly recommend watching that. So, all right, Bob. Well, I'm going to get out of here and let you squeeze in another call. It's almost time for us to get on out of here, isn't it?
It kind of is, isn't it? Well, thank you, Steve. Sir. I appreciate it.
No, I appreciate you taking my call, Bob. It's always a pleasure, my friend.
All right. You take care, Steve. Bye.
All right. I'll be in touch.
All right. Good. See ya.
Bye now.
Bye. Buddy Steve calling from Georgia Stan. Note coming in from another member of the fraternity of Steve. Be careful what you don't wish for. Bob, if we're tired with the idea and practice of self-government, then we certainly deserve to lose it. One thing I know about the Chinese I talk to, they admire the U.S. for its unique qualities of freedom and self-expression. They also tend at times to resent it. And, you know, and that's an open question. Does it damage, quote unquote, our democracy to look at a fucking scumbag like David Duke and say, I'm sorry, you're not fit to participate in anything even vaguely resembling a civilized discussion about the holding of public office because you are not fit to hold public office? Does our democracy suffer from that, or would that actually be a net good for our democracy? Of course, I always put the dick fingers around our democracy because it ain't one, never has been, and probably never will be. Thank you, Charlene, for finishing off Brother Deacon Ace's challenge. Thank you very kindly. That means tomorrow we'll only go into the program with a $270 fundraising goal. Thank you so much. I think I know the answer to that. I think saying that a Klansman has no business in a political debate is okay. He doesn't have anything of value to add to the discussion. It's kind of like the standard about obscenity. There is no value to obscenity. It appeals only to prurient interests. Pornography, on the other hand, can have artistic value or political value. But obscenity does not. And I'd argue that the David Dukes of the world are purveyors of political obscenity. Isn't he? Aren't they? You tell me. But you'll have to tell me tomorrow, because it's time to get out of here. Thanks, everybody, for your participation this evening in this little old prayer meeting Wednesday. I think I'm going to go see if there's any four-layer pie left. Damn deacons. But tomorrow's Thorn in the Side Thursday, and with any luck at all, we'll be... I don't know. And who will wear that thorny crown? Good Lord, show me the way. Oh, children, let's go down. Won't you come on down? Won't you come on down? Oh, children, let's go down, down to the river to pray. Hang in. Hang on. I'll be here every night till the election. Be here election night, too. And we can sort of hold hands and shake the way you do go on the uphill side of the roller coaster, right? Right. All right, then. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Hope you enjoyed the night off, Sparky. Thank you to... John Fox, thanks to Ben Birch at WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thank you to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. Thanks to each and every one of you who spend your precious finite time engaging in this little experiment in independent conversational broadcasting. Thank you. Thank you very kindly. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you.